Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. Holy Trinity Sunday is the first Sunday after Pentecost. It is that day that we take a big, deep breath and confess the incomprehensible. God is one divine being and three divine persons, a unity in Trinity and Trinity in unity, or as we say, triune, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. But it sure is confusing, isn't it? We were baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We invoke the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet we never come any closer to wrapping our minds around it this side of the resurrection. For now, we know only in part. Three distinct persons, yet only one God, one divine being. It is one of the great paradoxes of the Christian faith. Something that you cannot rationalize or you can harmonize, you can only believe it and confess it by faith. This weekend also our country remembers the approximately 1 million persons who have died in defense of our freedom. These are men and women who gave everything they were and all that they ever would be to their country. The names of these men and women, these martyrs to freedom, are inscribed on the hearts of mothers and fathers, sweethearts, wives and husbands and children, and on small markers raised above their graves. For this Memorial Day weekend, we also remember those who are still living and have also given a great sacrifice. We commemorate those who endured amputations without anesthesia, and those who live with constant pain. We remember those who have lost their limbs and in their struggle with a prosthesis or a wheelchair are reminded of their fight. With great humility and thanks, we recall those who never returned from the battlefield and those who will never leave the hospital. And as we try to remember those who have suffered and died, we will find further confusion. Signs of that confusion are all around us. The United States government makes provision for Christian chaplains in the armed forces to minister to those who could lose their lives any day, whose eternal fate of heaven or hell hangs in the balance. Yet that very same government here in Michigan refuses to allow an invocation to the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the address for an opening prayer in the state capitol. The Holy Bible is not allowed in public schools. Public school students are encouraged to use condoms, but are discouraged from witnessing their faith. Extremely vulgar language and obscene music can be broadcast over the airwaves any time of day or night, and can be seen and heard through hundreds of different social media outlets. The nativity scene of Christ's birth in the town square is considered to be offensive. The United States Supreme Court has the Ten Commandments inscribed on the wall of their building, but that same court has outlawed the public teaching of the Ten Commandments. Founding documents of the United States, such as the Declaration of Independence, appeal for their validity to God the Creator. And what kind of reception would a political candidate receive today if, to justify his or her views on what life is, or what gender is, or what marriage is, he or she made that same kind of appeal to God the Creator? This century, sin, Satan, and selfish desires, our selfish desires, have had much success in clouding our commitment, values, morals, direction. Freedom of religion, the government's constitutional promise not to interfere with the proclamation of Jesus Christ, has become freedom from religion, the government's efforts to stifle the proclamation of Jesus Christ. The God who governs all things has generously given our country much prosperity. And in this time of leisure, people sit back and relax. They forget about God and His abundant blessings and ignore their purpose for living on this earth. Even while these alarm bells are ringing, we should not be surprised, because all throughout history, many other nations and peoples have forgotten all about God. Israel forgot. God had redeemed them from Egypt. Not only did He give them freedom, He also gave them His grace and salvation. Of all the nations on the earth, they alone were God's elect people. But their many grumblings in the wilderness showed how quickly a nation can forget. God gave them the promised land, but they became lazy and neglected to drive out all the idolatrous pagans as God had commanded them to do. In the land flowing with milk and honey, God still blessed them abundantly, yet they forgot. So to refresh their memories of their dependence upon Him and His mercy, He allowed their enemies to discipline them. And then when His people remembered how much they needed Him, how much they needed His forgiveness and protection, God raised up leaders and judges and prophets and kings to deliver them. But always, always the memory of God's people remains so short. Having diagnosed their chronic amnesia, it is little wonder that God tried to tie the string around their finger so that they then wouldn't forget. When the Israelites were about to enter the land He had promised them hundreds of years before, God said to them in Deuteronomy 6, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So what is God saying here? He's saying simply this: don't forget me. Don't forget me. Have my words in your heart and mind as well as upon your lips. Remember me in the morning and the evening and throughout the day. Remember me when you're on vacation, when you're playing and when you're eating. Remember me when you leave home for work and when you come home. Be formed and be shaped by my words, and do not allow yourselves shaped by your old Adam and Satan. Remember to tell your children and your grandchildren about me, my words, so they grow up knowing of my love and my mercy. Now this request by God is not rocket science. It is simply a request. But it soon was a forgotten request. The same request by God comes through the sacred scriptures to us Christians today. Ephesians 6:4, "Bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Through Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, we have been given deeper insight into God's saving love and forgiveness. We have been given a fuller revelation than Israel enjoyed, for we have seen the light and the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus the Christ. And yet over the centuries, people who have heard this saving message have so often forgotten God's way and will. They have erased God from their door frames. They have removed Him from their conversations and thoughts. And what destruction ensued. On the land of the Reformation, Germany followed Hitler and not the Savior into war against their neighbors and against the Jewish people in their midst. A number of lives that were lost and that dismal experience will never be known. What pain was caused when the official atheistic government of the Russians rejected Jesus, the Savior, and replaced Him with nothing more than communist bravado. The Russians entered Germany from the east Christians were persecuted without mercy. Yet by grace, the church, badly battered, survived. For God always preserves a faithful remnant, even when nations as a whole forget God's request. And so on this day, when we are called upon to remember, we do well first to confess how much and how often we forget. We forget because we neglect the means of grace, the fullness and the completeness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We far too often fail to receive him as he has promised to come to us through his word and sacrament. Now most of our media and public universities laugh at Christianity. They call it nothing more than fairy tales for the feeble-minded. Far too many students start ignorant and graduate ignorant of true wisdom, which comes only through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the agent of creation and the redeemer of the world. So many live with no knowledge of the greatest truths, creation and the fall, sin and redemption, the cross and the resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. These are the most important facts for this life and for eternity. Sadly, so many do not have the Apostles or the Nicene Creed in their heart and mind, let alone the Athanasian Creed. The Word of God is the knowledge that makes us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3. We need to remember what God said in 1 Corinthians 3. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool, so that he may become wise. The wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. There are those who mock Christians for holding on to archaic beliefs like, God so loved the world that he sacrificed his only begotten Son to save all who believe from eternal death. They jeer at Christianity, saying that faith in a Savior causes people to become nothing more than psychological failures, emotional wars, prevents them from self-actualizing. They tell us that 1,000 billion stars just made themselves. When they hold in their arms the infinitely complex miracle of life that we call a baby, they ask us to behold the product of happenstance, nothing more than evolution. They deny divine creation and any need for redemption or forgiveness from God. It is time for us to follow real wisdom and truth. It is time for us to listen to the Lord and to impress his words upon our children, upon our grandchildren, and upon ourselves. It is time for us Christians to talk of God's love when we sit at home and when we walk along the road, when we lie down and when we get up. Our thoughts should be of thanksgiving to God, who has by grace and through the sacrificial death of his Son saved us from everlasting damnation. This weekend, we honor those who died to win limited liberty and temporal peace for our land. And it is right so to do. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, every day is a Christian Memorial Day. Every day is a day to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life to win complete freedom and eternal life for all people of every age and in every land. It is time for us Christians to remember that when the world says, oh, everyone is basically good, God replies in Romans 3, all have sinned. When the world says, well, there's no heaven or hell, God warns in Hebrews 9, man is destined to die and after that to face judgment. When the world does nothing more than shrug her shoulders and say, we can't be sure of salvation or know if Christianity is correct, Christians can confidently respond from 1 John 5. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This memorial, this kind of remembrance redirects a nation such as ours. When we remember our Savior and Lord, we realize that this country is not directed so much by what happens at the State House, or by what happens at the White House, or by what happens on Fox News or CNN, but by what happens at our house, in our homes, and at our kitchen tables. For God himself has given us a job to do, and that job is raising our children or our grandchildren in the admonition of the Lord and feeding ourselves with his word and his Holy Son. Receive his words of mercy, peace, and life, not the world's words of me first. God has given us a job to do, and we are to remember that we are God's children, born again by water and the Spirit and holy baptism. We confess the faith so that others may know that salvation comes only through the blood of Christ. We love God who first loved us enough to send his only Son as a sacrifice for our sins, for the salvation of the whole world. Our Lord even instituted a memorial meal and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In that meal of remembrance, the Lord's Supper, he gives us his true body and blood, sacrificed for our forgiveness, to strengthen our memory of him by faith. For living in times such as ours, we need that strength. We need the medicine of immortality. During the Second World War, many French people collaborated with the Germans and betrayed their Jewish neighbors into death. But that did not happen in the little village of Neuchâtel. In this very small Protestant village in southern France, it was distinguished by the fact that every person there was a hero. Because every person there during the time of the war had risked his or her life to save their friends and their neighbors. After the war, researchers were very eager to go there and see what this nondescript little hamlet, what was so special about the people that resided there. They wanted to know, is this entire village filled with great people? Well, they researched and investigated much. But they did not find any inborn qualities. The only distinct feature of all these people in this town was that they all went to church. In this village, every single home, every single family faithfully went to church. And over the previous decades, they had received God's word and Christ's body and blood, the means of grace, week after week, remembering over and over that Jesus had sacrificed everything for them. Strong in the faith, they also remembered that the day might come when God would ask them to risk their own lives in showing Christian love toward their neighbor. That truth had been preached by the pastor, and had been handed down to their great-grandparents and grandparents, to their parents and the children. And it became a part of each family. It became a part of each and every home. There was one little old lady who had distinguished herself during the war by faking a heart attack when the Nazis came to search her home. And she summed up everyone's attitude when she said to the researchers this: "Pastor always taught us that there are times in every life when a person is asked to do something out of love for Jesus. When our time came, by the grace of God, we remembered what he did for us and what we should do for our neighbor. This Memorial Day weekend, we can confidently say that our time has come to remember and to act. For this is what God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." May God grant that we always remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that He gives us the strength to live and to act in His remembrance. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." In Jesus' holy name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.